Okay, all right, good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is Thursday, 25th April 2024. So we are now back to Thursday class, where we will be sharing from this book, Straight from the Heart, Unique Dhamma Code by me. Yeah? So we are at Unique Code 111 actually. Yeah? We covered 110. In our previous Thursday class, which was more than 1 month ago. Anyway, I will repeat the unique code 110 so that you can develop better understanding of what this code is. Let us now compose our mind, develop the Sadha Virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhagavate Sisya Moni Pho. Namo Bhagavate Sisya Moni Pho. Namo Bhagavate Sisya Moni Pho. Namo Guanxing Bhusa. Namo Guanxing Bhusa. Namo Guanxing Bhusa. Namo Pho Bhusa. Namo Pho Bhusa. Namo Pho Bhusa. Arahaṃ sammasambuddho bhagavā buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ abhivādemi. Svagato bhagavata dhammo dhammaṃ namassāmi. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghaṃ namāmi. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Pāṇātipātā virāmaṇī siddhāṃ samādhiyāmi. Adina dana viramani sikkhapadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Kāmesu micchācāra viramani sikkhapadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Musāvādā viramani sikkhapadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Sura meraya maja pama datana veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. We shall continue our chanting from Padipa Puja onward. Ganna sarapa ditena dipena tamadang sina. Tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang กันดาสัมบารายุตเตนาดุเพนาหังสุกังทินาปูชาเยปูชานิยังตังปูชาปัจจานโมตมังวันนากันดากุโนเปตังเอตังกสุมาสันตทินปูชายามิโมนินดาสสิริปาดาสโรโรเหปูเจมิบุตังกสุเมนาเนนาปุณเณนะมัตเตนะเจโหตุโมคังปูปังมิลายัตติยัตตาอิดังเมกายโยตัตตายัตติวินาสบาวังอาทิวาเสตุโนบันเตปานิยังปริกาปิตังหานุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมังอาทิวาเสตุโนบันเตปาเลปาริกาปิตังหานุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมังอาทิวาเสตุโนบันเตโบจานังปาริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมัง Now we shall chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding or the significance of all these puja offerings.Significance or offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance thereon. Significance or offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma.That cools and doses of the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue.Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One.Strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration.By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception.Especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Puja. Buddham Puja. Dhammam Puja.สังฆังพุทเธ explained last Tuesday, every week we have three lessons or Dhamma sharing. Tuesday class, Thursday class, and Sunday class. All three are different, but it has its own unique Dhamma approach for different cultivator of the way. But if you are someone that has very strong interest in developing this cultivation leading to awakening, then all the three sessions will benefit you. Otherwise, it depends on at what stage of cultivation you are. So I will make use of today's session to explain this, because there are a few, one or two new people. Thursday class, the sharing is based on this book, compiled by me, I think after many years of Dhamma sharing. These are unique Dhamma code developed by my nature. And the title is Straight from the Heart, Unique Dhamma Code by Brother Teo, means myself. And these codes are really unique. We have a total of about 160 or 61, I forgot already. Let me check. 161, yes. Yeah. So the last quote, the title is very interesting. Direct seeing to see things as they are. So if you can do that, you would have developed the wisdom and you can actually awaken. So this unique Dhamma code for cultivator of the way is very useful, where it gives you a lot of understanding, a lot of very important Dhamma pointers that points towards what this pure awareness nature is, what your true mind is, what that meditative nature or mind is. So all this can trigger a lot of understanding that enable cultivator of the way to develop the understanding to meditate accordingly. When you understand this, awareness-based meditation become very easy. Otherwise, it's not easy. Most people, they tend to entangle themselves with the thought process, because that is the only instrument that most human beings are exposed to since birth until now. And they think a lot. They can't even have a few moments of silence without thought. And because of that, the Buddha said, these are the people that are heedless. Heedless means you think a lot. You are seldom mindful, aware of what is going on in life. Your mind is never within the moment, in complete silence, tranquility and stillness, to be aware of life, to be aware of what is going on within life, to see clearly who are you, what are you, and how you function as a human being, and how your mind stir, react, and create all those emotion, thought activity, then how the evil roots, mental hindrance, how they come to be. Then only cultivator of the way who have the understanding can counter all these mental hindrance and the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion through cultivating the opposite spiritual faculty. Unless you are a cultivator, the spiritual faculty are not with you. If they are not with you, the opposite fire, mental hindrance, they will arise. And that is the one that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. Means you lost the ability to be aware, to be mindful. Yeah. And this mental hindrance As per the word, the Buddha explained, when these five mental hindrances arise, it will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's why you cannot be in that state of silence, tranquility, stillness, and awareness to meditate, to develop the wisdom and the understanding. So all these are very important pointers. Yeah. Then after Thursday class, yeah, you can attend the Tuesday class, which we just had 2 days ago. Tuesday class is more for those who take the Bodhisattva way, yeah, who are keen to understand the deeper meaning of the Bodhisattva way, the supreme vehicle teaching. So for those who have the causes and condition, the affinity, that Tuesday class will be very useful. But for new people or people that don't have the very basic Dhamma understanding, they may find it more difficult to follow. But it depends on your affinity with the Triple Gem in the past. Some, they have their affinity, the Triple Gem. When they listen, they can also benefit. But if you have been a cultivator long enough and you have gone through the sainthood week cultivation leading to the Bodhisattva way cultivation, then you will find it very beneficial and very useful. Because that one can take you very deep into the teaching. But you need a Thursday class to complement all this understanding. Then we come to a Sunday class. Sunday class is longer, 3 hours, instead of the usual 2.5 hours. Our usual Tuesday and Thursday class, we start at 8, we end at 10:30, about 2.5 hours or in. And there are 2 sessions. The preliminary session is the puja, followed by the Dhamma sharing. But before the Dhamma sharing, normally we have the meditation. After the half an hour of meditation, we have Dhamma sharing. Then after that, Q&A. Q&A is the second session where you can report your meditation and ask any question you like regarding the Buddhist teaching and the meditation. And you can also share what you have gone through Dhamma in daily life. So Thursday class, Tuesday class, 2.5 hours. But Sunday class is different. It's on Sunday afternoon, 3 to 6. And because we have 3 hours, we will have our pre-puja followed by Dhamma sharing straight away. The meditation is after the Dhamma sharing. And the meditation awareness base is 45 minutes for Sunday class. Then after that again, the second session, meditation reporting, followed by Q&A and Dhamma discussion. So these are the 3 formats. Sunday class got one very beautiful advantage. We are preparing Kayamita who want to join us for the retreat in Cameron Highland. Every year we have our annual retreat. So this year we are going to hold it on the last week of August, this coming August, which is about 3+ months time. We will go through the Heart Sutta book, which I have developed over 15-month period of sharing at Wu Ping Jingse, which is a Mahayana Vihara in the year 2012 until I think beginning of 2015. Total, I think about 15 months. 15 months. Then after that, Kayamita found the teaching and the sharing very useful, the short notes taken very useful. So they decide to ask me to compile it into a book. And it so happened, it turned out very beautifully. And the book is what we call the Heart Sutta Short Notebooks. So for people who are new, I think Brother Theo, Beng Chui, Fuya, I don't know how to pronounce the last word, pardon me. You can get a copy from our website, brotheo.com.
I'm aware.
You are aware, very good.
Yeah, thank you.
That book is very useful. Beng Fui, I better call
just,
you.
Brother. Just call me BF.
So very good. That book, you listen to it, follow the Sunday class. Then by the time we hit our retreat, when you attend the retreat, you will understand very fast. You will progress. It will help you in a very big way. So pay attention to that Heart Sutta. Well, that Heart Sutta is a compilation of all the important preliminary basic teaching of the Theravada tradition, but I merge it with the Mahayana tradition to explain clearly to cultivator of the way that both teachings are actually the same. There is no difference except the depth of the teaching may be different. Mahayana Sutta may appear very different, but if you understand Theravada tradition teachings, it's good enough for you to understand Mahayana teaching. In fact, the two, they are the same. It is from the Theravada tradition teaching that the essence of the Buddha's teaching come about. So from this preliminary teaching, you can penetrate the higher teaching, which is the Supreme Vehicle, or what we call the Bodhisattva Way. They appear like very advanced, very esoteric, and very difficult to comprehend. But if you really have the correct cultivation and understanding of the Theravada tradition, when you awaken, initially is of course the realization of the sainthood way. With that understanding, you can also penetrate the Mahayana teaching and continue your cultivation. We are cultivating the Bodhisattva way to perfect yourself, to develop all your cultivation and understanding more and more extensively until it becomes the perfect awakening leading to Sammasambuddhahood. And that may take a very long period of cultivation. In fact, all those who realize Sammasambuddhahood, they take eons and eons. The fastest one is at least 3¾ eons, which Sakyamuni Buddha did it through the wisdom way. Whereas Amitabha take 12 eons. So don't be frightened by the word eons. If you take this way, the Bodhisattva way, with the understanding, you will develop a lot of joy. Then you will reach a point of cultivation where you can renounce samsara. Bodhi mind that can renounce samsara means by then samsara is no more an issue or a problem to you, because it's not about the time, it's about the beauty of the teaching. That's why you don't mind coming. So bodhi mind that has that wisdom and understanding to renounce samsara can develop what they call wonderful existent Dhamma. That's why in the Heart Sutta, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva mentioned, when you realize true emptiness, existence become wonderful. 真空妙有. So in Mandarin Mahayana tradition, they say 真空 means true emptiness. 妙有 is wonderful existence. So the meaning is you can penetrate and realize true emptiness. Then you can have this, what they call understanding of life that leads to wonderful existence. Then life become not only wonderful, beautiful, meaningful, and you can get to understand life so clearly to the extent that you can develop the clear understanding of life. Then you can experience all of the pristine beauty and wonders of life. That is the uniqueness of the Buddha's teaching. Then last Tuesday, I explained the Four Noble Truths in its three turning, the essence of the Buddha's teaching. That one is very beautiful, very useful. So now you understand Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday, they are all very beautiful sharing. They actually complement each other, and it can bring about good progress if you are serious in the search for Dhamma, search for truth, especially those who have the faith, Saddha, then you have the Virya, the spiritual zeal, tenacity to go all out to cultivate this teaching, then all these three sessions will benefit you. You don't worry sometimes if you cannot attend. You just let things be. Wherever you have the condition to attend, you attend. Otherwise, it's recorded. The videos are there. You can listen to them. Well, most people who follow my video sharing and all this Dhamma sharing, somehow they listen at least a few months. So far, all those that turn up and listen at least a few months. But there is one guy, he has been listening for 4 or 5 years. And there are many others. So, yes. Good. Sadhu. So how long have you been listening, BF? Several months. Several months.
Half a year already.
Oh, sadhu. Good. No wonder you have such good understanding, and my nature rejoices, because this is your affinity with the Triple Gem, with the teaching. So we all should rejoice. Okay, with that, I will now start the class. So I will read to you the second version. Second version means the awareness-based meditation instruction, dated November 2023. Last Tuesday, I share one is February 2024. These two are complementary and they are very useful. So together, they can actually give you a lot of understanding. Okay, as usual, you must recall to mind the four support to support you how to develop this awareness-based meditation. Awareness-based means the meditation is approached from our inner awareness. We no longer use the thought to go after thought-based meditation. So all this understanding, if you have been following what I share, you will understand. Otherwise, not easy, because the Buddha emphasized a lot of importance on being aware, developing sati, stabilizing it until it becomes heedfulness or apamada. And Dhammapada verse 21 is very clear. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So you don't train yourself to be aware within, leading to heedfulness. then you are as if dead. Spiritually, you don't stand a chance. Eh? Okay, the fourth support, I will give you the understanding when I read through the instruction to you. So this one, you listen attentively and you can start your meditation now. As usual, we will have our half an hour of awareness-based meditation. We are off the line for you all to proceed with your meditation. Just relax your body and mind and maintain some form of attention. Then we can commence our half an hour of awareness-based meditation. Always remember, awareness-based meditation is to enable us to develop the inner awareness within. And there are four support to help you develop this awareness-based meditation. The first support is relax. Relax into every mind state that arises. Just maintain a relaxed body and mind. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Just relax and maintain awareness. This is the second support. Then stabilize the awareness. This is the third support. Then the last support is trust. This fourth support, trust, you only do after you have developed the stability of mindfulness within. Otherwise, the first three supports are enough. That is, relax, maintain awareness, then stabilize the awareness. When you can stabilize the awareness within, you will come to understand another aspect of mind which is beyond the thinking, beyond the thought process, which is just the pure awareness nature within. In fact, each and every one of us, we have this pure Buddha nature within us. And the first thing to manifest from there is this pure awareness nature. And to realize that is fundamental and most important to develop the true understanding of meditation as taught by the Buddha. Because without that, you cannot understand what sati is and you cannot stabilize it to develop heedfulness. Yeah. So all these are the reason why this inner awareness or sati is very important. So ability to understand that there is another aspect of mind which is beyond thought, beyond mind, is most important. Eh? So this one is just a pure awareness nature within each and every one of us. Then once you are able to develop that, you will have great understanding and joy within your nature. But that pure awareness nature is capable of wisdom, understanding. It can observe silently to see things as they are. It can also insight into phenomena to awaken, to realize the three universal characteristics of nature, anicca, dukkha, and anatta. So all these are possible only after you have the ability to stabilize your awareness, to realize the awareness, pure awareness nature within you. Okay, then I read on. So we just silence our mind, relax our body and mind, and maintain some form of awareness within. So relax, followed by maintaining awareness. Just do that. No need to know or do anything. Because the knowing and the doing is always by the thought. Make your mind attentive, alert, and aware, just aware, whatever arises, aware, finish. Don't allow it to proliferate or continue. This pure awareness nature within need to be realized and stabilized. After you can do that, your meditative mind or the tranquil and still mind without thought will manifest. That is your true mind, your silent mind, your meditative mind. That is the mind that can develop wisdom, the insight to awaken you. So this awareness-based meditation can help one realize the awareness nature within. I read again. Since this awareness-based meditation can help one to realize this awareness nature within, we must therefore develop and stabilize it, then make use of it to cultivate the meditative wisdom and understanding needed to liberate the mind. Realizing this awareness nature within is very important because this is your primordial mind or your true mind. It existed prior to creation and is responsible for the arising of thought processes and the mundane mind or the thinking mind. So this true mind is the first entity to come out from our nature, which is the Buddha nature. We call it the pure awareness based nature, pure awareness nature. To develop the meditative understanding, we need to return all thinking. We are being just aware to that pure awareness nature. Allowing the thinking to naturally slow down by itself, we are just relaxing and maintaining awareness. That is, don't try to do or know. Then through the process, the thought loses its ability to move or proliferate further, thus becoming very quiet. Then you just continue to maintain awareness or mindfulness. Whatever arises, aware. Whatever arises, aware. And continue to maintain that silent inner awareness. Then the thinking mind or the mundane mind that you have been using throughout the day will start to slow down until they become very quiet and very still. Then you will experience the tranquility and stillness of mind, thereby realizing the silent mind. The first glimpse of it is already very wonderful and beautiful. And when you can stabilize it, you become even more beautiful. After you can be with the pure awareness nature, you can understand a lot of things. Then inquire without thought, who are you? What are you? And what is that nature all about? From then on, you will become very different. You will become more aware and more sensitive. The awareness nature makes you more sensitive, because you are just aware and no longer distracted by the thought process, the heedless thinking, the mental activity, the mental states and emotions that arise. When all those mundane thinking or stirring of the mind and emotions ceases, you will realize that true mind, which is so beautiful, so bright, so luminous, tranquil and still, because it's just the pure awareness nature. And this bright, luminous nature, which is beyond thought and beyond mind, is the entity that can meditate and develop the wisdom. That one can see things as they are, can awaken an insight into phenomena to realize the three universal characteristics of nature. That is anicca, dukkha, and anatta. Okay, now I will set the alarm for 30 minutes for you all to develop the awareness-based meditation within, so that you can train yourself in this awareness-based meditation. For those who already have the ability to stabilize their inner awareness, they can just silence their mind completely and stay at the heart area to stabilize the awareness nature further. We are cultivating the fourth support, the fourth support of trust. Here, trust means trust your own awareness nature to develop the meditative movement. We are silently observing with the silent mind to understand what is going on within your forming mind, to understand how you function as a human being, to understand who are you and what are you. Developing all this understanding is what awareness-based meditation is all about. Okay, you can slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner awareness, inner peace, and inner calmness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the mind state you need to stabilize. So once you can stabilize them, it will develop into heedfulness, or what we call mindfulness. The one that is ever mindful, constantly meditative, will be able to be in the state of heedfulness. So heedfulness has two parts. Not only able to become mindful, then you can stabilize that mindfulness until it becomes a part of you. Then you can make use of that to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is the Noble Eightfold Path. Combining these two, you develop heedfulness. So the definition comes from Dhammapada verse 23. Dhammapada verse 23, 21, and 22, they are all connected. They are from the Appamada Bhaga, the first three of the 12 verses. So the first verse is to explain to cultivate the way clearly that you need to develop mindfulness that stabilizes it to become appamada, or what we call heedfulness. You can do that. You are assured of enlightenment in the here and the now. That's why the Buddha say heedfulness is the path of the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas you don't have the ability to do that, then you will not be able to stabilize your inner awareness leading to heedfulness. Then you will continue to live life the heedless way. You think a lot. Most of the time, you are lost in thought, hardly aware. And because of that, you cannot understand what is going on within the moment, within existence. So a living being that doesn't develop mindfulness and heedfulness cannot be in this state of awareness to observe, to insight into phenomena and to awaken. Once you cannot do that, you cannot understand life and you cannot develop the awakening. That's why heedfulness is very important. Then verse 22 is a follow-up. He said, the wise, after understanding this, they will intend on heedfulness. When they do that, they will rejoice in the realm of the Aryas. The Aryas are enlightened beings. So they will become part of the enlightened beings community. Then the third, Dhammapada verse 23, the follow-up from there is, if you are constantly meditative, ever mindful, you will realize a supreme bond-free Nibbana. So what is constantly meditative, ever mindful? When you have these two qualities, it means you are heedful, because the heedful will never die. So understanding the Dhammapada verses will enable us to understand the teaching very clearly. Then we can focus our cultivation based on that. We will turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We'll do the invocation to the devas.
Devaradhana. Invocation to the devas. Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Sadhammam Munira Sunantu Sagamokadam Dhamma Savana Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana
Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Iti peso bhagava arahang sammasambuddho vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavidu anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusana buddho bhagavati swakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko ehi pasiko opanaiko pajatang veditato vinohiti supatipanno bhagavato sakkasango pujopatipanno bhagavato sakkasango nyaya patipanno bhagavato sakkasango samici patipanno bhagavato sakkasango yaditam chatari purisa yukani atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato sakkasango ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkhineyo anjali karaniyo anuttarang punyang ketang lokasati sadhu sadhu sadhu. We are at Unicode 110. We actually completed this code the last session, which is about 1 month plus ago, before Sister Padma Sri went to Taiwan. Anyway, I will go through it again so that you can recall what we shared at that time. Unique Dhamma Code 110. Turn to page 31 of this book, Straight from the Heart, Unique Dhamma Code by me. This Unique Code 112 is very useful and very important too. You can understand this, it will help you to develop the wisdom. It is the thought that fears. So this statement is very powerful. Living beings fail to develop the understanding because they associate with everything their mundane mind arises, especially cultivator of the way. So they learn a lot of Dhamma, but most of them, they use thought to approach it and develop all this thought-based Dhamma knowledge. But there are some form of understanding to all what we call wisdom. If they can listen attentively, then develop the contemplative wisdom to inquire into all this that the Buddha has shared. So ability to contemplate and reflect on all these teachings can give rise to certain understanding, which the Buddha termed as second turning wisdom. But to develop the penetrative third turning wisdom, which is bhavana maya panya, you need to meditate. And to meditate, you need to be aware. You need to develop the ability to be aware within. That is to realize your true mind, to make use of that silent inner awareness to actually develop the meditative wisdom. That one can see things as they are in silent awareness. And it can also within that tranquility, stillness and awareness insight into phenomena and awaken to their three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha and anatta. That's why you need mindfulness, the stability of it, leading to heedfulness. So what happened is, most of them, they develop the cultivation through using the thought to read up the teaching, then memorize it, then they listen. Of course, listening can help, but if you do not have the creative nature within, the awareness within, you will listen differently. We call it the art of listening. If you don't know how to listen, you will listen with your confusion or confused mind state, deluded, heedless mind state. Why did I say that? Because most people listen from the memory, from the thought process. So when they listen, they compare what they listen with their views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system. Then the mind, instead of silent, attentively listening to develop the understanding, they normally chatter and develop a lot of verbalization within. Then the thought will start to create that what we call verbalization within, or comment. The Dhamma I understood or I have learned is not like that. it must not be the true Dhamma. Then there are other reactions, because different people from different background, different training, listen with different understanding. So bound to have such difference, or what we call disagreement in the way we understand things. But more important is cultivator of the way, when they have the awareness within the creative nature, they listen attentively. Then if it's the truth, they will understand. If it's not the truth, they also understand. But they do not react or stir, they just listen. Then the understanding will be there. If it's not the Dhamma, then they will just let things be. If it's the truth, they will rejoice. Then they will understand what these things are. Then it depends on the understanding of the listener and the speaker. If the speaker has wisdom that is beyond the listener, then the listener can benefit. Yeah. Otherwise, it's the other way around. Yeah. The listener has more understanding, and the speaker may not have that level of understanding, and you cannot develop the understanding. So what happens is you listen from the thought process, with the memory, with all the views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system, that it prevents you from listening. You are not really listening. You are using your knowledge to compare, to create verbalization and all these things. So because of that, most people who are heedless, they think a lot. They develop all this tendency, which make them the way they are. So if you do that a lot, you cannot absorb the real teaching. You cannot have the ability to listen attentively, to awaken or to benefit from what is being spoken. Of course, not everyone has the Dhamma. So there are a lot of Dhamma sharing or Dhamma talk that are, most of the time, Dhamma knowledge, not true, clear understanding or penetrative understanding born of wisdom, born of awakening. So because of that, most cultivators cultivate a lot of knowledge. Yeah. Then when they cultivate knowledge, the first thing that they develop is, I remember, they use the knowledge to try to develop the mind state that accord with the knowledge that they were told. So they will have this understanding. The three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, they are evil root, root of all evil. So we must root them out. Yeah. You must not have them in your mind state. Then anger, hatred, which is part of the evil root of dosa or anger. Then selfishness, craving, all this. Then delusion is fear, worry, anxiety. Yeah. So as they cultivate, they try to suppress their emotion. They will like try not to get angry, try not to have fear. Then every time they realize they couldn't be aware of what is going on, then their mind stir and created those reaction of mind or stirring of mind that trigger of the anger or sudden fear. Then they become like unhappy. They said, oh, after cultivating so long, I still have fear. I still have anger. I still cannot control my emotion, my craving, my desire. Especially those who attend retreat. When they are more quiet at the retreat place, they tend to have more moments of quietness to observe their thought process. Then they realize they have a lot of this, what they call negative thought. Yeah. Sometimes it's not nice to use this word. They say dirty talk. I still have a lot of dirty talk. So they become like unhappy. Just like what Brother Song shared last time. When you are deluded by duality, what will happen is you will be caught in duality. So whenever they meditate, they look forward to good meditation or good meditative experience. So when their mind cannot settle down and become peaceful or calm, or have fantastic meditative experience, then they say, today my meditation is very bad. A lot of pain, a lot of distraction. My mind cannot settle down. I don't have a good meditation. So this is what normal cultivator of the way that do not have the understanding will go through. That's why this is what knowledge-based or thought-based meditation can lead to. If you really develop awareness, then the understanding is different. Like the Buddha said, when anger arises, aware means under citta nupassana. When our mind states, has this anger or hatred or fear, we must develop awareness. So citta nupassana is mindfulness of the mind state that arises within your content of consciousness, citta. Then if you are aware and mindful, you realize this anger was never you. Why? Because when you are aware, means when you are with the anger, when it arises, because you can be in the state of awareness, what happens is the anger will dissipate and cease to be. Similarly, fear also same. Fear of the unknown. Fear of whatever that arises at our sense door, sixth sense door, upon contact. It can be at the moment of hearing, like when there is a very loud thunder or sudden explosive sound that is very loud. Then it caught you unaware. Then fear arises. But you must realize fear was not there before it arises. Then how did fear arise? If you are mindful, you can trace the origination factor. Then you realize that anger, fear, they are dependent originating mind state. Because you have wrong view. You are deluded. You have sakkayadity. You stir your mind through habitual tendency without understanding. That's why they deludedly worry about what happened. They say, oh, after so many years of cultivation and practice, so-called practice, they like the word practice. I still have fear. I still have anger. I still have emotion. Then what they do is they try to suppress it, control it. That's why without awareness, without sati, without mindfulness, you cannot see this, all this. You cannot trace the origination factor. You cannot come to understand who you are, what you are, and how all this mind state arise due to your own sakkayadity delusion that condition you to stir your mind, react to sense experience, and develop all this wrong thought, wrong view. That condition one's suffering and misery. So here under this unique quote, I mentioned, it is thought that fear. Now can you understand that? Why I say that? How many of you can understand? Maybe I reverse it. Without thought, can you fear? You cannot do that. It's because that wrong thought fear arises. Because you don't understand. That's why there is fear. Fear of the unknown. fear of the future, fear of what may happen, fear of losing your job, fear of dying, fear of separation from your loved ones. Human beings develop a lot of craving, attachment, possessiveness. They try to own things, have things. So when they have a situation where there is fear of losing them, separating from them, sometimes it can be your wealth, your career, your title, or whatever, or your loved one. So all this can trigger off fear, especially fear of losing your job, fear of losing your financial stability, fear of not able to cope with life. Then we have the first noble truth reality, old age, sickness and death. As you go through that process without Dhamma, you develop a lot of suffering, fear, worry, anxiety. But then if you are mindful and aware, you can see it clearly that without thought, fear cannot arise. So what happens is, the culprit is the wrong thought. Through delusion, you create this wrong thought and stir your mind. So the main thing that cultivator of the way must understand is, it is not the thought that causes you to be deluded and get yourself entangled. It is your ignorant delusion, sakkarati, lack of understanding that entangle you. So what you need to develop is the wisdom to understand thought. So the use of thought is very important. Like I always explain, thought is like money, neither good or bad. It depends on the user. If the user behind the instrument, like money, is evil, money become evil. They will use it to hire assassins to kill people, or to create mischief, or to delude, deceive, and take advantage of whatever situation that can allow them to benefit from. So all this is what delusion is. But when you have the wisdom, then thought become right thought, wholesome thought. That's why Noble Eightfold Path, the Buddha teach right view leading to right thought. So it's not the thought, it's not the money. If a very generous and kind person with a lot of understanding have money, then money become beautiful, useful. They can use it to help people. They can donate to charity and education or whatever that benefits humanity, society, and the whole. And you can use money appropriately. So likewise, our thought process is the same. So how do we develop wisdom? We need awareness to be aware, to develop all this understanding, to straighten our view. Then only we can have the right understanding leading to right view that condition the right thought, then we will not be deluded. So awareness-based meditation can trigger this understanding. That's why my opening statement is, it is the thought that fear. Because when I develop this awareness within, when I meditate, I realize in that state of awareness, that mind is without thought. Without thought means what? No duality, no right, no wrong, no concept, no idea. So within that state, you ask yourself, without thought, who are you? What are you? You are nothing, nobody. But no one cannot describe. So how can you have fear when you are in that state of awareness? People have fear because most of the time they are not aware. They are caught unaware. When you are not aware, you cannot stay at your heart. You cannot stay at your awareness nature. then thought manifests. And these thoughts are usually your habitual tendency, your stirring of mind, your wrong thought. That's why I state here, it is thought that fear. And this is a very powerful statement. That's why it's a very unique quote. Then I continue describing it. Sankara movement is a thought projection. All of your sankara, mental activity, mental state, stirring of mind, mental intention, mental formation, whatever, planning, scheming, everything. These are sankara. And how did they arise? They arise through thought. Because when thought has its content, then sankara, the 52 mind state, they come to be. So sankara movement is thought projection. So when you project into the future, what happened? Eh? What happened when you project into the future? Eh? Of course, if you have wedding plan or some beautiful occasion coming by, then you project into the future, you are happy and so, oh, my marriage coming, or my birthday coming. Or you look forward to like our Kayamita, we have our gathering of Kayamita end of October. So Kayamita look forward to that. So that one is not projecting into the future, you understand? That one is the mind that understand, realize that that is the thing that has been planned, understand? So I don't have to project, I just rejoice. And maybe you can say, Kayamita gathering is coming. How can I help? Then some may have certain wholesome state of mind. I will get to meet Brother Theo again. I will get to meet all the Kayamita again. And we get to together for fellowship and all those things. Then we get to receive update on Kayamita's latest book and all those things. Then there are a lot of wholesome activity. But if you go and create the thought projection that lead to fear, worry, anxiety, then that will trigger off fear, suffering. Means when you project your thought, what if my boss come to know what I did? What if my spouse come to know what I have done? So all this is no longer happening yet, but the thought project where he worried, he got fear, they did wrong thing. Then they project the thought, and the thought is the one that create this so-called past and future. When you dwell in the past, you recall the scars of memory, your phobia, your insecurity, and all this, they trigger off suffering, wrong thought, misery, fear, worry, anxiety. So sometimes through memory, it triggers off your phobia that you have accumulated without you knowing. That's why when you project your thought, either into the future or you recall the unhappy past, fear will arise, suffering will arise, misery will arise. And these are all not a reality like we have gone through. To exist is to go through time. Yeah, that is what life is all about. Life is related to existence. And to exist, we have to go through time. And of all the three aspects of time that define the whole spectrum of time, we know there is a past, there is a present, and there is a future. The past is already gone, no more reality. Future yet to come, also no more reality. So the only reality is actually the present moment. But this present moment, which arises and passes away so fast, is so transient. And yet that is the only reality. That's why without mindfulness, you cannot see this. You will be deceived by the thought projection. You will dwell in the past and the future. You are seldom aware within the moment. To understand what is going on within the moment, within life, within that reality, but that is the only reality, the only truth. So without mindfulness and awareness, you cannot understand all this. That's why my unique could say, it is the thought that fear. Sankara movement is a thought projection, born of sakarity, and it is this deluded thought that conditions your fear. If you are just aware, without the wrong thought, fear cannot arise or fear will cease. So this part is very important. Eh? Contemplate into it, reflect into it, and develop the understanding, and don't be deluded anymore. Never say, fear is me. I still have fear. I still have anger. No. Silen your mind and stay with the anger that arises. Then you realize it ceases. Means, without the wrong thought, which is your habitual tendency, born of your views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system, it cannot trigger on the stirring of the mind to be angry or to be fearful. So all this you need to understand. When you are aware, it ceases. Then when you realize the very flowering of that emotion or that thought is the very ending of that thought, then you realize that is your true mind before the stirring, before the reaction, before the emotion. So all these sankara activity, emotion, they are manifestation from the pure awareness. That's why it's thought projection. From there, it conditions the emotion to your wrong view, your sakarity, your lack of understanding. So when you can trace all this through your mindfulness, you can see, then you realize thought was never you. Thought arise and pass away, you never die. If it's not you, then how did it arise in you? Then who are you? What are you? That's why you need mindfulness to see all this and develop the wisdom to awaken. So now I will use the whiteboard to explain it more clearly, so that new people can also understand. Eh? So you look at the whiteboard. Eh? This is the famous four circle formation that I use to depict the stages of creation. It's how from that source, the original nature, our Buddha nature, or our true nature, the oneness nature, from here, how everything come to be. So like Sui, she, after having the understanding, she also shared that every one of us, living being, not only human being, all these four are within you. You understand? Because like the Buddha said, each and every living being, we have the Buddha nature within. And this Buddha nature is the oneness nature. Of course, living being call it by different name. So from here, that's why they say source of all things. When this arise, then the flow, they starts to manifest. So the first thing to come out from that source or that awareness nature, the pure nature, which is our oneness nature, the original nature, but neither mean more, or what we call the pure nature within. The first thing that come out is this pure awareness nature. This one can only be detected when you are born into the existential world. That's why you need a karmic nature to condition a form and mind for it to arise. So this one is the human being, the form and mind, the five area of form and mind, the human being with the mundane mind, the living being. When this one arises within your heart area, there is the gateway to your nature within. But this nature is very difficult to detect. You need to develop awareness-based meditation to silence your mind. Well, without thought, only this one manifests. This pure awareness, the first thing to arise when you are a baby is there. Understand? Not newborn is there. But as you grow up, you develop a lot of what they call conditioning. And then your parents, your teacher, everybody teach you things. Then you learn how to use thought. They create an entity for you, give you a name, give you a person. Then they teach you how to form words, concept, pronounce, develop all the communication. And all these are thought-based. That's why from here, when you are young, you fall to here without you knowing it. And this is what they call sakyadity. Because before you become enlightened, you will not understand this. Those who have awakened, they definitely understand it. But they have to realize this before they develop the direct seeing to awaken the wisdom. Then only they can actually develop clear understanding of what that nature is. And this is your true mind, your silent mind, your meditative, pure mind. And from here, we are this triangle, the Trinity triangle. This is our pure awareness nature up there. See the pure consciousness or pure awareness. If you go this direction where your sixth sense is the mundane mind, everything, this is mundane living. You think a lot. Fully thought-based, most of the time. But those who have the ability to be aware, they have trained their mind and developed the stability awareness, they can actually go this direction. They can stay heedful, silent. That's why this one is heedful living. This one is heedless living. And this one will lead to wisdom, because this is the direct seeing. When you see things as they are, with the silent mind, you awaken. You can insight in the phenomena, and you understand what is going on, and how you get yourself entangled here. So through all this understanding, you straighten your view. So this wisdom that develop is connected to the forming mind. That's why from here is noble living. You can use this to live life. The third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda, noble living, is you live life of an enlightened being, a noble ones. So this is cultivation. Heedful, awareness-based, silent mind. This is thought-based. Heedless, think alone, knowledge-based. So here to here, now you understand. Since birth until now, most living beings, they are here. Then from here, they project into the phenomenal world of consciousness. Because we have the sixth sense basis. As a human being, we have a physical body with all the six sense bases. Then we have a consciousness trapped inside. That's why this is a fine real form of mind. So what happened is, when the senses together with the consciousness trapped inside, they will create what we call sense door consciousness. That's why the Buddha said, upon contact, feeling arise. That is the paticca samuppada. But like the physics experiment that I have explained to you, upon contact, the light bulb lights up. You know what is the meaning or not? That one, it means at the moment of sense experience, like when there is contact with the eye to see things, the light bulb that light up is the conscious moment, the seeing consciousness. You become conscious of what you see. If it's at the ear, you become conscious of what you hear. So upon contact, consciousness come to be. That is the first thing that arises. If you are mindful, aware, you saw that. There is no one to see yet. The content of consciousness, the clarity, self-delusion has not gone in yet. That's why the Buddha said, in the seeing or in the hearing, there is only that consciousness. In the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness. In the hearing, there is only the hearing consciousness. But from there to the following movement is very fast because of your habitual tendency, your delusion, your ignorance, your lack of mindfulness. You don't have that stability or awareness to develop the understanding. That's why every moment of seeing, you associate with what you see. You see, and most people will define it this way, I see, therefore I am. Where I am the one that sees, you tend to associate with the seeing. I hear, I smell, I taste. Then this egoic mind, the sacrality, the personality is being intensified. You understand? And when you intensify that, the ego, the personality become like very strong. Very strongly ingrained into your psyche means your mundane consciousness, your memory there. Because since birth until now, all this conditioning, self-delusion, belief system create this what we call sacrality, self-delusion and ignorance. And because you cannot understand what is going on, you cannot understand life, you don't know how to straighten your view. So you get yourself entangled here. So every moment of consciousness, what happens is instead of having the pure awareness to be able to see things as they are, like the Buddha said, in the seeing, there's only the seeing consciousness. Means that consciousness, no one inside that. Yeah, there is no sacrality. That's why the direct seeing, you will see things as they are, no word, no concept, nothing. But the moment you associate with the seeing, what happens is the memory with all its views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system, they set in. And this is the content that you create through your own delusion, sacrality. And when this content went in, you become so conditioned, and the habitual tendency, everything, they manifest from here. Then because every moment of contact is like the physics experiment, consciousness arises. So when you become conscious, you project into the phenomenal world of consciousness. That's why here, all your seeing, hearing, smell, taste, thought process, tactile, they manifest here. After they manifest here, what happened is this is called existence, life. And this is where all of activity happens. So this one, before you have the wisdom and the understanding, you will be deluded by it. Then you will chase after it. Because initially it's like very interesting. There's a lot of what they call potential, materialistic success. You want to be successful in life. You want to make a lot of money. You want to have good life. And you want to own all the beautiful things in life. So this thing delude you, lure you, and cause you to strive. Strive with what? Not awareness. Strive with the willpower, the desire to be successful. Then you don't know the nature's law that governs life and existence. You entangle with karma. You entangle with a lot of heedless living that condition the negativity of karma. That's why here is where the four noble truths, especially the first noble truth or dukkha, is. It is within this conditioned world that the Buddha actually taught the teaching. And the Four Noble Truths is to explain the whole understanding behind the teaching. Once you have the Four Noble Truths, then you will understand the First Noble Truth of Dukkha, means the eight conditions, or the reality of life and existence. Everything that happened here is within the eight conditions. Then the Buddha said, this is a noble truth. And suffering will arise when you confront this eight reality or life without this Dhamma understanding. And after that, the second noble truth, which is the cause of arising of all this suffering, that is the one that gives you the initial answer to your problem. So if you know how you get yourself entangled and you know the cause behind, then you will be able to manage your life better. But to free is not easy, because the first two noble truths still is within the field of thought, is still mundane. So the mundane living and the mundane understanding cannot free you. So to free, you need to develop mindfulness or heedfulness or awareness. That's why awareness-based meditation is to take you back from the phenomenal world of consciousness, from where all these things that delude you, deceive you, and enticing you or alluring you, back to the pure awareness nature where you stay silent, aware. When you stay silent, aware, then you realize all the emotion, the suffering, everything ceases. Then from here, because there is no thought, no concept, no words, here is your pure original nature, your true mind. Before the stirring, before the reaction of mind, before all the movement take place. But from here, thought arises very fast. This mundane mind, from here, it arises very fast. That's why most people cannot stay in this state, cannot stabilize the awareness nature, because the moment they feel curious about what that, even one moment of silence without thought, they get excited. What is that? Yeah. Then the thought will arise already. Will tell them, oh, what is that? How come like that? Then sometimes they allow the thought to play trick on them. Am I meditating correctly? Is this what Brother Teo said? Or the Buddha meant? Once you create all the dialogue, or what we call verbalization inside here, means you are already out. Understand? You are already at the mundane mind level. You are no longer aware. Man can only do one thing at a time. Means what? Either you are here fully aware without thought, then you can see the movement, the flow from here to here, and how all these people play the game of duality, like Song mentioned, to entangle themselves and to create the chaotic world. So this phenomenal world is also a very chaotic world where you don't have the Dhamma understanding and the wisdom. That's how, when you understand this movement, you were determined to meditate through awareness-based meditation to stay here. When you are here, you are heedful, you are not heedless. When you are here, you are heedless. And you create a lot of this without understanding to get yourself entangled with karmic and all those we call deluded activity. So understanding this flow of creation is very important. If you know from here you come out to here, so what you need to do is you need to reverse all this to develop the understanding of this. That's why the direct seeing from the pure awareness nature is very important. Not only you can see things as they are, you can see how the creation process, the movement of thought, how this mundane mind become what it is, the sakkayadity, the self-delusion, the personality. Because you think you exist, what follows is that ego will create the entity, And the entity, which is the personality, will try to own thing. True or not? Eh? Possess thing. One thing. That's why all the selfishness, the greed, the possessiveness, they arise. Then when things don't go their way, they get angry, they get emotional. Then when they cannot get what they want, they suffer. So the selfishness or the greed is the first one. Then when they cannot get what they want, they become angry, unhappy. That's why greed, hatred. Then delusion is when they cannot understand, fear, worry, anxiety. Then they get entangled with life. Then they suffer, they become miserable. Over what? Over the illusionary world. That's why this phenomenal world of consciousness, consciousness is the greatest magician, the Buddha said. It's like an illusionist that create illusion in the conditioned world for you to believe. That's why most people deludedly grasp, cling, and hold on to this. And like what I said, the analogy that I give in the book that is coming out, this thought projection is actually like a cinema show. Yeah? You understand? The cinema show, actually, you look at the cinema show, the theater, there is a white screen at the back there. They off the light, then they play the video or they play the film show. So what happens with the light, the causes and conditions, then it becomes like very real, animate with the voice, everything coming in. Then you watch the video or the cinema film show as if they are so real. It can make you so emotional. That's why you crave for it, you fight for it, and somehow you pay to watch it. Without understanding that all this is just dependent originating condition arising manifestation for consciousness. The end of the show, what happened when they off the light? Only a blank screen. Nothing. But you cannot deny all these things happen. No? And the mundane mind that is not mindful or heedful actually enjoying the show. No? Watching it, no? Like so real. That's the end of the day. What the Buddha meant by anicchang dukkang anatta is the universal characteristic of nature can awaken you. Because all this that happen is moment to moment, dependent originating, condition arising, cause of no, not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why it cannot be in the state of what they call complete entity that doesn't transform and change. Because it is all within existential world. It is existential reality. That's why the Dhamma Sutta says, each year you waver. Means everything within this conditioned world is conditioned Dhamma. Dependent on condition they arise, like the film show, cinema show. Based on your senses, they create. Yeah. Without all these causes and conditions, none of this will happen. Without all the living beings, mental intention, everything, none of this can happen. So all this understanding is what the teaching is all about. And without awareness or mindfulness, you cannot see all this. You cannot understand all this. You cannot straighten your view. You cannot return. And you cannot live. So to live life, especially the noble life of an enlightened being, to live from here, you need to stay here. That's why this is what heedfulness is, mindfulness is. Ever mindful, constantly meditative. I mean, when you are here, you live, you truly live. But when you are here, you can also live, provided the wisdom is connected to you. But if the wisdom is not connected, most people, before they have the Dhamma or become enlightened, they will be heedless, lost in thought, entangled. They hardly aware. They can't even have a glimpse of what this thing is. Now you understand. That's why I say, since birth until now, living being 99.999% is all thought-based, lost in thought. You ask them to sign or not, they cannot. They cannot do it. Yeah. But for us who have trained ourselves in awareness basement, we are most of the time without thought. We are just aware. And the nature is so beautiful. Yeah. Especially after you cultivate until your mundane mind collapses. The sankhara, mundane mind, the gross consciousness and the content and the mupana, all no more, no, like huining. Means like the cloud, everything dispersed. No? Then the clear sky. Means what happened? Your nature shine forth, understand? Like the bright sun. Nothing to cloud. That's why you are ever mindful. Then when you already awaken, you no need to be constantly meditative. You only do when you are going through the training, seka and asika. Understand? So what is important is you make use of this to awaken through the sainthood way. Then after that, you continue to cultivate until the mundane mind collapses. Then you go the bodhisattva way to live life. Every coming, you come here and develop the understanding to live life. So this is true emptiness. Once you realize, you can live wonderful existence. So to be able to be here, most of the time when you are a bodhisattva is, you no need to cultivate it. Well, you will inherit a lot of all these things. I realized after 1989, that the nature is always like that. Yeah. And for the past 35 years already, 89 until 24, 35 years ago, it's just like that. Yeah. There is nothing inside that. Everything is like so clear that nature is just like that. That nature and you is one. But then there is this form and mind, understand? And this is the most beautiful. Well, after that, you don't have to like worry about life. No more suffering. Everything is taken care of. The karmic nature, the spiritual nature, both has been perfected and become so beautiful. That's why these two are your greatest support in life. And this is the one that manifests into wonderful existence. That every moment of life is so pristine, so beautiful. That's why you can realize the pristine wonder and beauty of life. Life becomes very pristine, very beautiful. Every moment, every consciousness is so pristine, so beautiful. Existence is like that. Then the consciousness of everything becomes so different. Whereas the normal heedless living being, you know what happens? Every moment of consciousness, they think a lot, they react, they stir here. Here, like, very capable. In English, what you call busybody. Verbalize a lot, talk a lot, chatter a lot, and react a lot, stir a lot. All the nonsense is wrong here. That's why all the misunderstanding, war, conflict, or what, all start from here. Can you understand? Okay, I will. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, I think I should end here. We only have about 17 more minutes. Never mind, don't worry. So we will open up for second session. Anybody wants to come in, you just come in. What about BF?
Actually, I'm still pretty new. So
don't worry. Can you follow what I share today?
Yeah, yeah, I'm okay. I can.
Oh,
I can.
Very good. If you can follow, means you're not bad already.
Do
you have any question or anything about meditation that you want to develop understanding?
I'm still grappling with it, but
don't worry.
Not for the time being, lah.
Yeah, okay, no problem. So
Thank you very much.
We just let it be. Yeah? So let you continue with the listening and the learning. Then later, when you are ready, you can come in and ask.
Yeah,
questions.
When I'm more stabilized, lah.
No problem. No problem.
Back to where you say it's a baby.
Yeah.
Baby.
That one you can understand, huh?
Yeah. You see, when life is come like that, you're born.
Yeah.
Then you're born, you have nothing mind. In other words, pure awareness. I think it's something like, what about those handicapped people?
Oh, they don't have pure awareness.
You compare them with handicapped people because they have no thought.
No. They have thought. Their karmic conditioning is there, but you cannot see. Because handicapped people, there are many. Yeah? It doesn't mean that they don't have thought. They are retarded. Understand? The senses are retarded. And most of them are because of their karmic from the past. This is what they do. So karmically, they reap what they sow. So like you hurt people, harm people, cause their senses or hearing to deteriorate. Sometimes it could be war or what, massive killing and destruction. Then this karmic, when they entangle them, they will take birth with handicap condition. So there are many causes and conditions behind. So handicapped people, most of them may not be retarded. The retarded one, there are a few which I have seen when I was young. I got one classmate. The brother is actually, what you call that? He grew up retarded one. You cannot teach him anything or not. But the mother is full of compassion, love and faith, brought him up until he is about 21 or 22 years old. He's still with the saliva and like cannot understand, cannot talk, but he can like say words that you cannot understand. Then not to say no thought, a lot of thought. But they are not aware at all. It's because their condition is they are retarded. Understand? They are retarded doesn't mean they have no thought. They actually have the what they call karmic seed that generate that type of consciousness for them to go through life. And if they don't have proper parent that has the love and compassion to care for them, it's not easy to deal. So that case, I know, well, my this classmate, we are very good friend, we are very close, and they are quite wealthy, the family. Then they stay in a big bungalow, you know, even in the 50s and the 60s. So I used to go to the house there, gather with our classmate and play there. Then the grandfather is wealthy, he got very nice car, even in the 50s or the 60s. So what happened was, the mother was full of faith. And you know what happened when I went to uni, even I come back after I graduated, I saw the brother. The brother is elder than my classmate. But he was like that. So what happened was, he heard people mention about this. In India, there's a very famous, the hair, like Aerofallon. Sai Baba. You know what happened or not? The mother got such faith, flew there, and with faith, pay respect, offer all the things, then make aspiration. The son recovered. When I went back, I think when he was about 30 years old, he became a normal person again, can talk to me. Normal, back to normal. But then the mother, of course, full of joy. But the mother also got her mother's coming. Then after that, we spent so much time looking after the son. She already quite weak. She fell at an elderly age. She fell. I think the hip bone or what. But then they recover a little. So the faith is very important. Then later on, this classmate together with a few other classmates, they know I meditate. They want to know about meditation. They did not ask them. So what happened was, because the brother recover, they have so much faith in Sai Baba. They put an altar in the house. The mother has everything. And their parents. I said, yeah, you can. Because when you have faith in the great being, yeah, Sai Baba is famous for loving kindness and all those things. Of course, you see in the video, they say a lot of this is, I don't know, we don't want to get involved. People tend to come out with a lot of, that's why without understanding, you don't simply comment, otherwise it's coming. But this is a real life situation where the brother recovered, fully recovered. That's why they have faith. So whatever you have faith, you develop the understanding, the goodness, then you know how to make the aspiration. Things can happen. Yeah. So these retarded people doesn't mean that they cannot recover. It's coming. You must know how to break free from the karmic obstruction. Then they will have the causes and conditions to recover. So it is not true that retarded people, they don't have thought. No. The baby, yes. Why? Because the memory is not so sophisticated yet. But for retarded people, it's karmic conditioning. That's why the Buddha says you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, condition, support, and you are what you are because of karma. So because of karma, you take that type of birth. Then whether you have the fortune to have good parents that willing to care for you, sacrifice for you, and have the loving kindness and compassion to look after you, depend on your parami. If you have not developed those type of parami, then very likely your parents also may not want you. They either give you away or a lot of other cases where they just dump you. Understand?
I just want to say, it's my second class here.
Oh, okay.
Since Tuesday, yes, last night, I downloaded a YouTube.
Wow, sadhu.
I'm almost
midnight.
Oh,
sadhu.
I wish I could continue. But I'm very impressed.
Sadhu.
I started 2017. I got all the answers from your YouTube.
Oh, very good, sadhu. Oh, you started
2017.
Oh, sadhu.
I didn't get anything from there. Yeah. Retreat. And with these two classes, I gained so much. Thank you.
Yeah,
your
yeah.
Explanation is so clear.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Speaking a layman language.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Day to day layman language.
Yeah, yeah. I can be talking about this everyday life.
Yeah. Involve your daily life. Yes.
So it's so easy to absorb.
Wow, sadhu. Because you have your clean slate. You are not so conditioned like all those people who went to Vipassana, went to all those type. This type of mind, easy to understand.
I went in that on Tuesday.
I got it immediately. Wow, sadhu! You know why or not? You can ask Amy. Because my house is different. The energy there is different. Where you have affinity with the triple gem, it's like a magic hall. You know what is a magic hall?
I want to tell them, after you do that, I feel more comfortable.
Yeah. Because I was so surprised of that Tuesday class. He can follow until the end. Normally people knew I go there sleepy.
I was sleepy, but then I don't know why.
Yeah, the burst of energy virya come, yeah. The timing is there. And you're supposed to receive all this one. Yeah? In the past, you actually heard this before.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you cannot follow on. You ask them and see so many of them, how many years later only they can understand. And this one is towards the end of my sharing. You know, the last 5 to 6 years or 7 years only I start sharing this. Before that was just the preliminary teaching. The three evil roots. Dhammapada verse 1 and 2, Dhammapada,
mindfulness,
all those awareness. Awareness.
How we do everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's one of the YouTube.
Yeah, 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 so yeah.
You talk about your personal experience every day.
Yes. Yeah. Daily religious routine.
Even holding a toothbrush.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. How I brush everything.
That's what we have been doing.
Yeah, sadhu. Well, no wonder you can understand. He has been doing that daily mindfulness thing. That's why I can understand very clear to her.
So it's different.
Sadhu.
When you practice mindfulness, your life.
Yeah, then the whole thing like very easy. It's from that silent mind that teaching come out. So if you have the ability to be aware, what I share is very easy to understand.
So when you're angry also, you will know.
Yeah, you will know. You're aware of it. Yes. Correct. Correct. Then you know how to apply the Noble Eightfold Path and all those things. Sadhu, Siddhi, thank you so much. Yeah, we also rejoice. Well, you give faith to a lot of people. You just come to session, no? Tuesday class, Thursday class, so much thing went in. No? And the first awareness-based meditation, never meditate before, can get in. No? You think easier. Sadhu, sadhu. You should thank Ingbi and your good path. Otherwise, you can.
I'm on the right path.
Yeah. Oh, very good. Sadhu, Siddhi. Thank you for this good sharing. That's why this will give faith to a lot of people. Brother, 你今天的这个 summary, like 一个很 full 的一个 picture.
对,
一个 full picture,
对,
step by step 的.
对.
又再给我们一个 revision.
对.
别. It started with, it is the thought that fear. Naka understanding, it's just like the other book coming out on, the contemplative wisdom, like I last time give you a hint, without thought, who are you? All this can give rise to a lot of wisdom. So it is the thought that fear, you know how to contemplate and get the answer right without, before listening to me, you will be very different. You will have a lot of joy on. That was what you actually realized. And very easy to understand, no? Without thought, you don't have duality, no word, no concept, nothing. How can you have emotion, understand? Well, the patisasamupada cannot happen, understand? The law of dependent orientation can. When you are aware, there is no avijja. But when there is avijja, you cannot be aware. Why? Avijja paccaya sankhara. Straight away, that ignorance will condition mental activity taking here already. That's why without awareness, without the stabilizing of it, you cannot. You will always land yourself here. Then from here, you will like become actor and actresses, live life and go through all the magic show and all those things, and get yourself entangled everywhere. Then as you age, worse still. Very good. That's why after that, I purposely come to this to explain. You remember? Initially, I explained the basic Dhamma first. Then I come to this whiteboard. When I come to this whiteboard, it becomes very clear. Actually, it's mainly for Cindy also. Because this four circle is not easy to understand if people are new. That's why even Brother BF, he's still new. It takes a while to absorb. But Cindy, just two sessions, no? But you must have heard from her before that. 2017, he started listening to my YouTube and video. And these are the people who may not come for the class, no? But they have faith. No? And when they really, like he described, how I describe my daily mindfulness, wake up aware, how I come out from the bed, how I turn, how my bladder. That is very beautiful. This is a living example of reality. You know. It is not somebody plucked from somewhere. This one real. That's why my nature rejoices. Sadhu. Okay, let us now share merits, transfer merit. Then after that, we will end the whole Zoom session. Aka Satta Chia Bhumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anamoditwa Surang Rakantu Loka Sasana Itta Vata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anamodantu Sabba sampatti siddhiya idang menyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyati nang ho tu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyati nang ho tu sukhita hontu nyatayo deyo asatu kalena sasa sampati heto ca vito bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammiko itmina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end the whole Zoom session. Sadhu.